Welcome to the 10th episode of Cover Your Six. I'm your host, Ron Easton. Let me get the business out of the way here first. If you'd like to see past episodes of Cover Your Six, go to my webpage. It's coveryoursixpodcast.com. And you can view all of the past episodes, and I've had some outstanding guests. Or if you want to leave an email as far as a person that you might want to nominate for the Ring of Honor or a person that you might want to see as a guest on my podcast, go to coveryoursixpodcast@gmail.com, and I'd love to hear from you. Let me get this out of the way first. I want to say happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa. Any celebration that you might be having at this time, I hope it is a joyous one, that you get to spend it with family and loved ones, all right? I want to talk about what has gone on this past week because things have been unbearable. Because of the person that I have as my guest tonight, when Donald Trump removed the ASL interpreters from his staff meetings or briefings, I took that personally. Because there are 11 million people in this country who are, their hearing is affected, and there are 2 million people who are profoundly deaf. This affects me and my family. But the thing that got me the most is the blatant disregard and disrespect shown by Donald Trump and the Department of Justice toward the Epstein survivors. Once again, by Blanche's own admission, there are 1,200 women who survived the horrors of Epstein Island. But yet and still, you go, and on the date you're supposed to release the Epstein files, you drib and you drab it out, and what you have out there looks like it was dipped in black ink. Once again, you traumatize these women who have been traumatized for over 30 years. This makes me wonder, why is it women, those of you who have been in this situation, those of you who have stood up and told people that someone assaulted you and they didn't believe you, you had to live with that all of your life. Those of you who were assaulted by someone in your family, and you said they did it and say, oh no, they couldn't have done that. What about the men who are supposed to protect and love these individuals? Why have I not heard from you? Seriously, 1,200 women have to live with this because of what was done on last Friday. Then now you think about the fact that there was a picture that someone sent me of babies, little brown babies, laying on concrete floors in nothing more than a dog kennel, wrapped up in Mylar blankets, sleeping in huddles for warmth. Is this the country that you want to represent you as an individual? Are you that much of an amoral individual that this is okay with you? I don't think so. So then why is it that more of you are not speaking out? Why? Black folks, God, I love you. I love you all my life. But the one thing that has always upset me is the fact that people will state out that it's a well-known fact that black folks don't vote a lot because they feel so disenfranchised. But the things that are being done now, because there are words, certain words are being eliminated from certain grants that are predominantly used in African-American communities. You can't say black anymore. You can't say woman anymore. You can't say disability when it comes to these grants anymore, all in the name of DEI. America, is this truly how you feel? Is this the way you want to be viewed around the world? If this is true, we're lost. We're lost. People can sit up and deny this. They can say, oh, well, Donald Trump is just that way. But you think about the number of people from his first administration that went to jail. This time, when that day of reckoning comes, all hell's going to break loose. Because this administration is guilty of protecting child molesters. Think about it. In the meantime, we commit another act of piracy by hijacking two more Venezuelan tanks. The video that was supposed to clear it up on that double tap, oh no, Pete Hegseth decides that, no, I'm not doing that. What are they hiding? That's the question you have to ask. Think about that. Ladies and gentlemen, I am overly proud and excited for this news, this next segment. Because I like to shine, put a spotlight on people who have left an impact with their lives, who have left a legacy. This individual has been an advocate for the deaf community all of his life. Next March, he will be 95 years old. He has gone up against Cleveland Clinic and won. He has gone up against the federal government and won. The very school that wouldn't allow him to come and attend there, he now has a scholarship there in his name. That individual is Charles Chuck Williams. And I'm proud to say he's my dad. Ladies and gentlemen, as I mentioned before, this segment of this podcast, I am especially proud of. Because normally I would have a ring of honor. And that person has done things that are extraordinary in their life. And they left a legacy. This person that has done this is my father. He is a stiff advocate for the deaf and has been an advocate for the deaf his entire life. Dad, how are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine. Today is Sunday. I'm really happy. I enjoyed myself if I left the church today. And see my granddaughter a little while ago, and my daughter came in from California. But happy to see her come.
Oh, I'm happy to hear that. I'm sorry that I can't make it home for Christmas because we're having like 27 people over at our house, and I'm already singing the blues. So I wish I could be there.
Well, we have now about 45 people at my niece's house, and I'm sorry to say that, no, but this happens every year during Christmas holiday.
Dad, let me talk about you being an advocate for the deaf. There's a situation when you were younger where you were stopped by a police officer, but you refused to speak with him because they didn't have an interpreter available. Talk about that, if you would.
Well, when I was young, within a situation where the N-word came out during my time, and the policeman was always, during World War II, most of the policemen was white. And they always liked to pick on black kids who walk on the street all the time. They said, hey, boy, what you have, what do you got? So I refused to pay attention to it. I kept walking down the street. He said, hey, boy, he had a motorcycle blocking me from walking farther down. And I had my pictures. And I had it shown to him. It was all about my football. I played football for high school for the deaf. And I had all my pictures within there. And he gave me the ugly look. He thought he was going to catch me with something. But he said, wave me off. He didn't say anything, just wave me off.
Well, Dad, you have been an advocate. You've actually had laws changed within the state of Ohio for the deaf community. Talk about that, as far as ASL interpreters being available at hospitals and things.
Well, that came later in life, though. That came later in life when many deaf people was in the hospital or in court and all that, get caught, had traffic tickets and all that, didn't have no driving license and all that. And the law was 504. That made a lot of change, and those the people who came from the south was unaware of that situation. So I was very lucky because my father was a lawyer. He became a judge, and I have learned how the system works. And I became an advocate for the deaf people. I didn't care whether they're black or white, Chinese, whatever. I became an advocate for them. But most of them came from the south. And they did not have that language situation, like the English language or anything like that. So I did part of that, and I feel like I was happy because I didn't have no law license to do that, though, but I got away with it.
Outstanding. And you got to know, I that's one of the things that I am most proud about you, because when you set your mind to something, you don't let anything stop you. And I'm so proud of you about that. You had a scholarship established in your name, excuse me, at Gallaudet University. But at one time, Gallaudet University wouldn't let you in.
The problem was you have to understand, most of the deaf people are from the south and they're white. And the one who went to Gallaudet at that time was in the offices and administration working on. So I gave my papers to one of my students, my friend from my high school from the left, to take it to Gallaudet. I did not go there, I gave it to him. But he came back and said they don't accept black deaf people, no. I was taken by surprise, though, and I was hurt. But I should have think twice to go myself and check it out, because there was other few black deaf people who went there during that time, before my time.
Dad, what let me ask this question. What made you such a strong fighter?
Well, I got it from my mother. My mother, why? Mother, yeah, you keep shaking your head. My mother stood up for me. What really happened was my brother, who was deaf, and he and his friend drove to Columbus. On the way back from Columbus, they took a shortcut and went through a small town. And police stopped my brother. So two cops, as he said, they gave me a ticket. They took his watch, his wristwatch. So my brother gave it to him. And he came back home. And I asked him, where's your watch? He said, the policeman got it. My brother was not well educated like I was, but he was older than I was. So I told my mother and father about it. Wow, they dropped me in the car and took off. They came back and got my brother's watch. So that was the thing I picked up myself. Watching my mother become a very strong advocate for me and my friend, me and my brother. Second time I was living in public housing for a project for low-income families. We was one of them. So I climbed over the fence on the other side of the fence to go get the bomb. But I was grabbed by two policemen who had to be white. My mother came out of the house and told them, let him go, let my son go. Let my son go. And she said something that I didn't realize what else she said, and let him climb back over the fence. So they released me, I climbed back over the fence, and that was it. And my mother stood there. The other time was the school. And my classroom was real big. I was in elementary school at that time. And we was allowed to go home for lunch. So I went home for lunch. My mother didn't work. She stayed home. She cooked my lunch and all that. I walked back and only 2 blocks to the elementary school. I went upstairs on the second floor. I sat way in the back, and the teacher was way out in the front. During that time, the teachers talk while they're writing on the blackboard. Most everything's on blackboard. There were no papers or anything to be had now like it is today. So I didn't realize, I didn't notice if she was talking, though, but she wrote out there on the page. So I looked down at the book on the page. She came up to me and tapped me at the desk, and I looked up. She said, "Child, do you hear me calling you?" I said, "No." She slapped the hell out of me. It really hurt. But my mother taught me, anybody who hits your touch, you come straight home. She taught me that early during my day. So that's exactly what I did. So I grabbed my coat, went home, told my mother. She came back with the lock on the banging door. Teacher came out. And they had a conversation. I had my brother, who went to Holiday Grand Bell School, which is 2 blocks away from the school I went to, public school. And my mother took me on the shoulders and asked me if I want to go there. So I have a hearing test. And I didn't realize that my mother called my name, but she touched me on the shoulders. That was the first day that slows me and my face depressing. It was funny. So we walked, all three of us walked. It was reset hour. And I saw my brother. I looked at everybody's hands going up there, talking and all that. I said, "Wow, I never knew anything about sign language." Because my father and my mother been strict that the Ohio law was sign language was not acceptable. You have to learn how to read lips. So that was the story.
Dad, let me ask you this while it's on my mind, because recently the asshole in the White House, I don't know any other way to put this, removed all ASL interpreters from his briefings. And then the judge the federal judge told him that you have to put it back because ASL is a separate language. So how do you feel about being slighted like that?
It's no different when I was in public school. You have to understand, my time is maybe 45 students in the classroom. And the teacher was going around asking questions, answering all that. And I put my hand up because I knew that that's the situation of the question was being asked. I didn't put my hand up, not being ignored. I was maybe very few blacks students in the classroom. So I told Dad, I said, "Hey, keep putting my hand up." Well, he told me, "Yeah." And tell him, "You're here." So the next day in class, I put my hand up. I said, "Here I am." He said, "Oh, I didn't see you, Mrs. I didn't see you, Chuck. I didn't know you was up there." So that was the development, build up the strength that I can speak up for myself and have the authority to say what was right, what was wrong.
We're not far removed from the days of where they would refer to the deaf community as, and I hate this phrase, deaf and dumb, and that always drove me just ape shit, because you're deaf, but there ain't no way in hell you're dumb. Dad, you're one of the smartest people I know.
Well, I want to tell you that only the white deaf people. White deaf people didn't like that word. You're right, Roddy. They never did like that word. I watched them. They ran on paper and passed a Senate report and tell them the word deaf and dumb is not acceptable. And they did it on their own, so I was very proud to watch them do that. But I didn't have a chance because they did all the work writing paper when they read the paper and play deer all the time. But reporters removed word deaf and dumb, but covered it up, you know, so they lost something.
There's a picture in your house that I am especially proud of. And you are standing with a former president, Bill Clinton. How did that happen?
Bill Clinton was invited to Calvin Tech University to come and speak to graduation students there. And I was on the board of trustees. So he was in the hallway of the school waiting to be called to go up on stage. And I walked up to Bill Clinton and I gave him the I love you sign. But his two bodyguards were the kind of guys came over and opened up their robe. And I saw the Tommy guns all in there. I got back in my life.
So you were saying I love you and they showed you guns.
No. I told him to sign. He didn't sign anything. I said, "Well, you
know,
dude, I love you that way." But in the hallway, while I was talking to him, I was real close to him. The two FBI had the robe on, came up to me, and opened up the robe, and I saw the two Tommy guns and all, but guns and all that.
You taught American Sign Language. For how long at community college?
I taught everywhere. At community college, I taught for 22 and a half years. I taught at private school. I taught at church. I taught it all over. And I taught at Bobby Wallace and Cleveland State University. And, I had no college degree, though. I talked my way in.
You talked your way in, and you know you're good for a man that can't hear a damn thing. You talk your ass off.
I got away with a lot of things. The reason why I say that, I learned from my boss when I worked for the Cuyahoga County Engineer. My supervisor was Italian, and he came over to the oil country. On a boat, and they stop at Statue of Liberty. You know, many of the people who come from Europe stop at Statue of Liberty and change their last name. The last name was so long, shorten it up. So, when he got to Cleveland or Boston or whatever the country, the city they went to, they told a lie that they dragged away from college and all that. And there was no such way to prove that they dragged away from Ohio State or New York College or anything like that. Yeah. And they put it at post and put it on the office wall with plain paper saying where they graduated. And I looked at them and found out it was all lies and everything. Then I found out my cousin Billy Bass did the same thing. He had the radio station.
I remember him.
No, he did the same thing. Said he graduated from college. He got away with it, though. He became famous. He made his money.
You know what, Dad? The knowledge that you have not only gathered, but you have passed on to other people far surpasses any college degree that anybody could ever have. And I've told you this before. I love you. I love you. You are a very special man.
I'm pretty proud of all of you too. You remember I told you I signed you up when I went to visit you. Don't you remember I told you about shocking in your face?
I gotta tell this story because when I graduated from basic training at Fort Campbell, Kentucky. Now you got to keep in mind that Fort Campbell, Kentucky is an airborne base, 104th Airborne. My drill sergeant Abraham, he was airborne, and I mean airborne all the way. My dad comes to the graduation ceremony, and I had told him about the drill sergeant getting up, and my dad, as short as he was, got up in drill sergeant Abraham's face and said. He said, "Don't you ever yell at my son again." I'm going, "Dad, yeah. You know what? And I heard about it after you left, too. But he was laughing the whole way. He was very, it was a good laugh for both of us. I'll never forget that as long as I live.
Well, the reason I said that, the soldiers or anybody who make loud noise, the people who jackhammer or loud music, jack and all that, I knew more about the hearing. There are three small bumps in your hearing, in the ears. And they evaporate, any little thing would break. When they break, you can't hear. So you're looking down today, maybe the soldiers of World War II, all tanks, can't make all that noise. You look at the VA hospital, how many are handing out hearing aids there? They're getting hearing aids started, all because of that noise. And they don't realize that. Nobody's paying attention to that.
That's true. No, that's not the reason why you got up in his face. You were just feeling kind of froggy, and you just wanted to leap that day. So let's put it this way. I will take that to my grave and laugh about it before. You know what? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I love you, Father.
Thank you. I love you, too. So you take good care of yourself. Lord, stand up for your right.
Amen. Amen.